Almighty Yahweh, King of the universe, we thank you for another opportunity to meet with you, another feast during the week. We thank you for the week that we had, the past feast, all the many new brethren that joined the brotherhood, and all those that came out to keep the commandment to rejoice with you, Almighty Yahweh, and with Yahshua. We pray for Israel, Almighty Yahweh, and we pray that you would be with those that are sick, those that are going through some trials, and also those that don't have a place to fellowship. We thank you for the brothers here and all those that are joining us online. May the words spoken be yours, Almighty Yahweh. And we thank you for, as the song said, being our inspiration and being there for us when we definitely need you. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I chose this title here because of the word contending. And I had a family friend. He helped raise me. I say he's my uncle, but he was a family friend. And he was a street boxer. And he used to love watching fights and watching competitions. So anyway, when we come into this faith, as many are going to learn, it's not going to be an easy walk. You know, you're going to have to go through some ups and some downs. And so it's always nice to have brethren that have been doing this for a long time. We can lean on them. But ultimately, we want to always go to Almighty Yahweh for anything that we have that we need. And he's going to lead us in the right direction. And it's interesting that first song that we sang about Zion, talking about Abraham, you would never think when talking about contending, you would never think that Abraham would be included in that. But I found a way to squeeze him in here. So somebody was cracking some one-liners last year, and as he was quoting them, I was writing them down, and I figured this would be the perfect time. It's in a form of a question, but Abraham was the smartest, and you ask why? Because he had a lot. I know the brother in Mississippi would find that cute. I thought it was nice. So when you go through your scriptures, guess what? I have no slides. I gave Deacon Lucas a break. So we're going to do it the old-fashioned way. Just grab your sword, whatever version you prefer. Grab your phone, grab your tablet. We'll go through it that way. And we'll look at some scriptures. There was another version here, but I took this from Jude chapter 1, verse 3. This is one of those verses that when I first came into the faith, is one of those verses that sticks out. And also, there's another one in John. Oh, yeah, sure. Take that. In Jude chapter 1, and you go real quick to verse 3. Love this study scriptures. Go to Jude. It's all the way in the back. Real small book. You know, one chapter. Many people might overlook it. But it starts out, Jude, the servant of Yahshua Messiah and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by Yahweh the Father, preserved in Yahshua Messiah, and called, mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. Sometimes I like to send that verse as an encouragement to people. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And it continues, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Another version, it says, beloved ones, making all haste to write to you concerning our common deliverance, I felt the necessity to write to you, urging you earnestly contend for the belief which was once for all delivered to the set apart ones. And so, since I'm opening with this passage, I was thinking to myself, who better exemplifies faith but the father of a multitude. We know him as Father Abraham, the father of the faithful. So Jude here, he says to earnestly contend. A lot of times I like to type in the title that I'm using, see if anything else comes up. A lot of sermons came up with this scripture, but if you look up that word in the Greek, earnestly contend is 1864. It's a combination from 1909 and 75. Epagonizomahi, from 73, to struggle, to compete for a prize. We had many competitions at the feast, right? Some of us won prizes, and even though we might not have won prizes in some activities, we learned a lot. We picked up things that we might have forgotten or that we didn't know before. And also here it says to endeavor to accomplish something. So just like when I spoke about are you in bondage, when you contend, you can do so for a good cause or you could do so for an evil cause. You can be in bondage to Yahshua or you could be in bondage to the evil one. So in contending, we can do it for the right cause or we could do it for something other, whatever the case is. If you want, you can follow along. I chose Genesis 12. If you want to go there, Genesis 12, we'll start out with that, speaking about exalted Father, and we'll just build on these. We'll build on that subject, contending for the faith. Genesis 12, we'll take verses 1 through 4, something real interesting. Maybe it kind of slipped by us, but it starts out, and Yahweh said to Abram, go yourself out of your land, from your relatives and from your father's house, to a land which I show you. This is what happened to a lot of us. Abba told us to go to the feast. Maybe we've never been to Missouri, but anyway, you found your way here. Verse 2, and I shall make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I shall bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you, and in you all the clans of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram left as Yahweh had commanded him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he set out. So a couple of things we see here. We see that Yahweh made a promise to Abram. We know that Yahweh kept that promise. Another thing, Abram was 75. So you're never too old to come into the fold. And then again, in verse 4, what I underlined is, he left as Yahweh commanded him. Yahweh gave him an order. He told him, you know, go out to this land here. I'm going to show it to you. And he didn't do like Jonah. He didn't run, right, and get on a ship and go the other way. No, he did as Yahweh commanded him. So Yahweh sometimes, it's going to ask us to do things that might seem strange to us, but we have to listen to his voice, verify it, and follow Almighty Yahweh. So we're going to have our workout. We're going to have our workout. Workout daily. Walk with Yahweh. I saw that in the congregation. I thought that was neat. Get your daily workout. If you go to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, I'll give you the scriptures real quick, and then we'll go through them. Habakkuk 2:4, then we'll jump to Leviticus 18:4, and then Hosea 14:9. We'll put these together. It gives us a nice message. I wanted to bring in one of the young kids. He was getting good practice at walking. Sometimes he got a little insecure, but he was having fun walking from here to there, walking from here to there. That's what you do in this faith. You practice how you walk. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. This is a prophecy to Habakkuk, but I just chose this verse here. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This verse shows up a couple different times, and it got my attention because it says, the just shall live by his faith. How does the just do that, right? The exalted father became the father of a multitude. So when you tie that into Abraham, Abraham was just. He had faith in Yahweh, so he walked in his statutes, and Abba gave him a blessing, right? He didn't have any children, and then as he got older, he gave him a child. So Leviticus 18:4, it says, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am Yahweh, your Elohim." So there we go again. The just lives by his faith. And then when we keep Yahweh's ordinances, we walk in that way. And then you never have a guilty conscience when you walk in truth. Have you ever noticed that? When you're standing on the word of Yahweh, people could come to you with different arguments. They could fuss and fight about why, you know, we don't need to do this or that. But when you stand on his truth, you can sleep good at night because you're doing what is right. And that's Yahweh giving you that bonus. He's increasing our faith when we do what he tells us to do. Hosea 14:9. After watching a movie on the story of Hosea, he became my favorite prophet besides Yahshua. Hosea 14:9. It reads, "Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of Yahweh are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." So when you go about being disobedient to Almighty Yahweh, you're just going to fall left and right. You're not going to get those blessings that he promised unless you humble yourself. So part of contending, when you contend for this faith, for this walk, many people have questions because they want to define it. They want to narrow it. Okay, what is it? What do you believe? Well, it's many different aspects. You know, if we went through the study this morning, you notice the same thing we spoke about. It was the same thing in Luke that we read about. Yahshua was castigating the leaders there. They were doing some things right, but others, they were not doing right. And they were expecting others to do things that they wouldn't do. So Yahshua had a problem with that, right? If we expect the next person to keep the Sabbath, then we should keep it, right? That's just an example. So part of contending is learning Abba's truth and then practicing it every day. Just like the shofar blowers, just like the musicians, it didn't sound just right. You know what? Let's do it again. Let's practice. That's why they practice and practice and practice. And when we come together as one, it sounds great because Yahweh is blessing that because it's praises to him. So we're not going to go wrong when we dedicate ourselves to praising Almighty Yahweh. And right, we're going to have struggles with, as it says in John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's just the way that it is because we're carnal. So not only do we have to contend with outsiders and naysayers, we got to try to keep our own like wants and desires in check and like channel that to Almighty Yahweh. So our faith in Almighty Yahweh is proven by our obedience. How do you prove you have faith in Yahweh? How did Abraham prove that he had faith in Yahweh? Well, it says there in Genesis 26, he kept everything. Of course, he made mistakes, but as far as being blameless before Almighty Yahweh, Yahweh gave him credit. He saw that he was willing to follow him. So we keep the laws of Yahweh because we believe they're for our own good, right? He's not going to tell us to do something that is going to cause us harm. And also, they have a benefit. The laws of Yahweh have a benefit. You go to Psalms like 19, and in one passage there it says, "In keeping of them is great reward." So why would you not keep them if he's going to reward you? I mean, we know that salvation is a gift, but there's many rewards, many blessings in serving Almighty Yahweh and serving the brethren as we did during the feast. It felt good to, you know, help out. I came down here once. I was going to do something, and they put me right to work. Hey, come over here. We need your help. So I said, sure, why not? No big deal. So when you do these things too, when you walk in the ways of Yahweh, you're getting a head start into the kingdom. You're already seeing what it's going to be like. The joy on the people's faces here and the sadness when you couldn't come to service because you wasn't feeling good. But even in that, you did what was right, because I don't want to pass my germs to you. So a couple of times that's why I had to stay back. And yes, definitely missed, you know, fellowshipping with the brothers. So the kingdom is closer to us every day. Every day that goes by, every Shabbat that goes by, every feast that Yahweh calls us is coming. Yahweh is preparing us. And so we don't want to get ahead of his plan. So hallelujah for that. You go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. It gives us a lesson there. 1 Peter tells us that the faith you have in Almighty Yahweh, the faith that I have in Almighty Yahweh, it is precious. When you think about like the jewels, when Elder Allen put them up here, you know, those things that go on the breastplate, you think about diamonds. Think about how beautiful a diamond is. Think about like a beautiful gold ring, you know, or how the kings used to dress real fancy or whatever. Guess what? Your faith is more precious than that. That's how Abba wants us to look at it. And that's why we try our best to get everything right to the best of our ability. So 1 Peter 1:7, Peter tells us, in order that the proving of your belief, much more precious than gold that perishes, and proving by fire, that's part of contending. Abba's going to prove our faith by putting fire under our feet to see how we handle situations. It says, might be found to result in praise and respect and esteem at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. So, translation. As the parents of one brother used to tell him when he would walk out the door, remember whose son you are. That was our brother Jim Steele. He used to tell us the story when he used to walk out the door. His parents used to remind you, hey, you know, don't be a disgrace to the family, right? And so that's what we try to do. We try to come here, keep the feast, do a good job, learn from one another. It's been preached upon here lately many, many times. Love your brother. Love your sister. Find a way to love your brother and love your sister, even though sometimes it's hard. It happens. We have little squabbles. We gotta get past the stuff that doesn't matter to Almighty Yahweh. All right, two more scriptures. Let's keep going. I got Genesis 15:6 and John 3:18. If you're taking notes, Genesis 15:6 and John 3:8. I call this slide spiritual inertia, and you'll find out why after the second one. So Abraham was insecure. When you read about Abraham, he was insecure. So he had to battle with those insecurities. It wasn't even like a fleshly enemy. It was within himself. But Yahweh made him prosper. Genesis 15:6. So Abba is talking to Abraham and telling him, hey, listen, I'm going to bless you. Go outside, look outside, and look at all this land here. That's going to be yours. And that's going to be your descendants. And so it says, Genesis 15:6, he believed in Yahweh, and Yahweh counted it to him for righteousness. So imagine that. You might feel unworthy, but you put your hand to the plow, you believe in Almighty Yahweh, and he does it, not man. He counts it as righteousness because you're doing what he says. So Abraham believed, but he also took action. He didn't kick back. on his lazy boy with the remote. He put his hands to the plow. And how did he do that? Well, he offered up his son Isaac when Yahweh asked him to. So of all the things that Abraham did, that right there gave us a picture of what Yahweh was going to do to Yahshua. Yahweh offered him up as his firstborn son. And I'm pretty sure that that wasn't easy. Many parents here, they wouldn't give up their firstborn, not for the sins of other people. But Abraham did it. He had faith. And so, you know, in his mind, he was like, man, I waited so long to have a son, and now you want me to offer him? Okay. You know, I'm not going to dilly-dally. I just get my hands wet. Let's go to John 3:18, and see what that tells us. Many people know John 3:16. That's one of the most famous verses besides Psalm 23. But you keep on going. You get to John 3:18. You read a very promising message, but you also read a sobering message. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe in him is judged already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only brought forth Son of Elohim. So this is a sobering message. You see how Abraham believed, right? So being that Yahweh counted it to him for righteousness, he was not condemned. And so it is with Abba's people when we believe in him and do what is right. But if you don't believe, if you're one of those that say there is no Elohim, as a sticker used to say, if you believe there is no Elohim, you better be right. So what we see here is continuity in Scripture. From Genesis, you go to John, wow, you find the same message of faith. And you rightly divide this word. You say, we're not supposed to condemn people, but Yahweh is allowed to condemn you if you don't believe in his son. So that's serious. So there's a contention there. You have to battle that. You have to figure out, well, what am I going to do? You go to the scriptures and you verify what we're saying here. Make sure that it's right. If it's right, then it's on you to either follow Yahweh or go the other way. The forefathers trusted Yahweh and they knew about the kingdom. When you talk about Abraham, he knew that there was something more to this life, especially when he spoke with the messenger there in Genesis 18. He knew that there was something special, especially when this messenger told him, hey, you're going to have a son next year around this time. He's like, I don't know. And even Sarah, she's like, really? I don't think so, but it happened. You see, so we have those bits of insecurities, but ultimately it said that they both had faith in Almighty Yahweh. So that's why Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. And one thing that stands out is, although he was rich, his possessions never ever hindered his reverence for Almighty Yahweh. If you notice that, when he went to war to rescue his nephew, and they had all, you know, the plunder there, and one king was saying, hey, you know, give me some of this, and he's like, no, I don't want anything from you. I don't want you even saying that you made Abraham rich. That's pretty amazing, you know, when some people would have been like, yeah, give me whatever. But no, Abraham knew the customs and how it was that word got around. And he got everything legally, and it was a gift from Almighty Yahweh. You know, he wondered, if I'm supposed to be a father of a multitude, how come I have no children? Right? When he was childless, he came to Almighty Yahweh. He says, how come I have no children? And I'm supposed to be this exalted father and this father of a multitude. What's going on here? Yet after Sarah gives him a son in his old age, Abba tests him the same way Abba is testing us. I don't know if you ever had this happen, but sometimes you might be lacking And Abba gives you a blessing, but then you turn around and you find out there's somebody that is in need, and you figure, you know what? I held it for a minute. Let me pass it on down. It happens like that. Sometimes you get your hands on a blessing, you have to turn right around and give it to somebody else who is in need. And so Yahweh gives, Yahweh takes. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. So, you know, Abraham, he tried to weasel his way out when he said, you know, let Ishmael live before you. And I was like, no. Isaac is going to be the son of promise. So just be patient and you're going to get the blessing. So he trusted in Yahweh 100%. That's the same thing we're supposed to do. Have patience in Yahweh and trust him 100%. And he's going to bless us. Another thing that stands out, obedience to Yahweh does not go unnoticed. If you notice, speaking on Abraham, speaking on the prophets, some of them, like Jonah, you know, he tried to go the other way, but ultimately he did the will of Yahweh. He suffered a little bit, and he was angry because Yahweh was merciful. He figured, I have to go to this nation over here and speak to them. You know, they're not going to repent. But Yahweh showed him something. Yahweh showed him something. Just like Yahweh shows us. Sometimes we might not have faith that a person might come to repentance. And what do you know? Abba softens the heart and they come here. Or they go to another assembly and they get baptized into Yahshua. What an exciting time. So obedience to Yahweh doesn't go unnoticed. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise when you're keeping the commandments. Let's go to Micah chapter 4 and verse 5. Micah chapter 4 and verse 5. You know, the prophets had beautiful messages for us. A lot of times it was about correction. But if you listen and you take correction, it's for your benefit. Yahweh will bless you and also your offspring, because the offspring see the changes. Micah chapter 4 and verse 5. We're going to talk about our daily workout again. It says, Micah 4 verse 5. For all the peoples walk, each one in the name of his mighty one, but we walk in the name of Yahweh, our Elohim, forever and ever. Very short and sweet. Some of this was prophetic. But consider this. It says, all the peoples walk, each one in the name of his mighty one. So, if the people walk in the name of their mighty one, that means they obey that so-called mighty one. Or maybe they don't. Right? When Eliyah challenged the prophets of Baal, they thought that Baal was Elohim. So what did they do? They jump up and down, they cry, scream and shout, and they cut themselves. But Abba didn't pay attention to that. So you see, even pagans obey their mighty ones. That ought to say a lot for some people that are on the fence. They neither go this way or that way. You got to make a choice. So we, on the other hand, are commanded not to follow or learn the heathen ways. Because sometimes if you're weak in the faith, you know, we know the Israelites, they were like lambs. They were very innocent. And so that's why Abba was against those mixed marriages. You know, you go to this other place and you see the customs, you say, oh, then maybe I should worship Yahweh that way. And Yahweh said, no, I don't want that. I don't want no imitation. I don't need it. So there's a difference between a dream from Yahweh and a deception from the enemy. We read these prophecies, right? We can quote from the prophets. A lot of them had revelation from Almighty Yahweh. So what happens? Well, you know, the pagans also have their false mighty ones and their false prophets. The difference is prophets of Yahweh always teach the truth. If you're a prophet from Yahweh, you're going to dedicate yourself to preaching only his truth. Meanwhile, untaught, unstable, and prideful individuals had dreams influenced by the enemy, hence the rapture theory. You say, I had a dream. Okay, well, let's test it. Let's line it up with the scriptures. Does it line up? No, it doesn't. Well, then how can we say that that's a doctrine? How can we follow that doctrine? You see? So test the spirits. So speaking about farmers, you can look at Yahweh, you can look at Yahshua. Look at them as a farmer, right? But in this earth, a farmer has to contend with certain conditions in order to survive. What do you do in the wintertime if there's certain crops that you can't plant, right? Farmers plant seeds with the hope of a good harvest. No farmer goes out there and just plants just because. They don't wake up and go out there and just plant seeds. No, there was something behind that. You know, that's their livelihood. And a lot of them actually help us out because a lot of us are not farmers. So we depend on some of these things. They have faith that their hard work will be rewarded. Isn't this, like, for instance, the brothers and sisters, you go out, you share a word with someone, you're planting seeds. Aren't you hoping that that's going to bear fruit? You're not just going out there to talk to people about Almighty Yahweh just because. There's a plan behind it. Abba is using you. Abba is using me. Abba is using children. Children are able to correct certain folks on stuff they're doing. Look at this. Egypt, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome all put their trust in their pagan mighty ones. And what happened? When you read about this, it's kind of hilarious because you look at Egypt, they had their mighty ones. At that time, they were powerful, they were strong when the Israelites were there. What happened? Abba made all their mighty ones look foolish, all of them. And then to end, he struck down their firstborn. This is, you know, to many, the heir in the family. And Yahweh said, hey, you keep on messing around. You're not taking heed to what I'm saying. I'm going to slay your firstborn. Why? Because you're messing around with my firstborn. Right? Israel was Yahweh's firstborn. In a sense, we know that it was Yahshua for sure. But so they were messing with Abba's people. That still is true today. Many people out there, they might want to bully you. They might want to make fun of you. And then you sit at home and you say, how am I going to deal with this? How can I still love my neighbor without lashing out? How can I? Because we can't go out and smash people's idols, their Halloween decorations, their Christmas decorations. We can't go out there and, you know, cause violence, right? Let Yahweh take care of it. We pray for these people. And who knows, Abba might open their eyes. But definitely, Abba refuses to honor foreign worship. That's just a matter of fact. If you try to bring a half-truth into the assembly, Abba's not going to accept it. He looks down on that. Example, Nadab and Abihu, when they brought in strange fire, when Abba was specific, what happened to them? They lost their life. That's what happened to them. Why? Because they knew better. You know, their dad was a high priest. They could easily go to him and say, is this acceptable? And he would have told them no. Now, how about Daniel's three friends, on the other hand? They refused to bow to a man-made image and were acknowledged by Almighty Yahweh. How great is Yahweh, when you talk about the story there, even their clothes didn't smell like fire. And even the king recognized, wow, wait a minute, I put three in there? There's four. I see four in there. So the king was forced to acknowledge Almighty Yahweh. You can read about that in Daniel chapter 3. So, number one contenders. When you look at sports, you have your number one contender, you have your champion. And so the number one contenders believe and walk with Yahweh. You're in contention. You're in contention to get into the kingdom, but there's things you have to do. You have to prove to Almighty Yahweh that you're worthy of his calling. And it's a struggle, but as long as we do it for the right reason, Abba Yahweh always will have your back. So I'm near closing. Just got a couple more scriptures. I would like to share something which might be a little off topic, but very interesting to consider. I read an article and it said, just because something is legal does not mean it is lawful in the eyes of Almighty Yahweh. We know that. There's many laws out there people are passing. There's many papers given out to people to go out and to live the way they want. Just because any government official legalizes something does not mean that in the eyes of Yahweh is lawful. There's a difference. So while we're covering the topic of contending, if you want to go to Proverbs 28, verse 4, this is, if you don't remember anything about this message, and if this was just a refresher for you, go to Proverbs 28 and verse 4. You know, when you watch sporting events, you know, there's a buildup, and a lot of times you're left disappointed. But with Yahweh, you're not left disappointed because he always comes through. Proverbs 28, verse 4, it reads, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. That word contend is to strive. Remember Jacob? He was wrestling with that messenger. He said, no, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He struggled. The messenger was very impressed. And a couple of instances, people come across this messenger and they ask, what is your name? And he says, why do you want to know my name for? Seeing it is wonderful. So he was keeping it a secret, but nonetheless, as we read in Scripture, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not on this wise, it is because there is no light in them. That still applies to this day. If we're not speaking according to Yahweh's law and to his testimony, then what is it for? Yeah, you might rake in millions of dollars, but that's not a blessing from Almighty Yahweh. And another scripture from the psalmist, it is time for Yahweh to work because they have made void thy law. Yahweh gets to work. Yahweh is not lazy. Yahweh blesses the ministers. They step up. They preach Almighty Yahweh and his truth. And so we can appreciate it because of the many people that are out there. Some of them, they don't know. They don't know. They weren't taught the right way. And some of it is you have allegiance to maybe a family member or a friend. You like them. They're pretty cool. You like the way they teach. But if it's not all truth, if you just blend in, like we saw during the games, right? I enjoyed that because like the kids, they had to decipher, okay, this person is way out lying. Then the one in the middle, they have some truth, but they also have some error. And then you had the true character, and you had to guess which one it was. And, you know, it was in play, but for us, we might be young in the faith. We might not know. Somebody brings us a bogus doctrine. So we need answers. We need to check with the ministers. We need to go to the Word, right, and then present it and ask and see if we're on the right track. If it's not a doctrine that we don't need to be following, then let's not waste time with that, right? Hallelujah. Indeed. Joseph Benson comments on 28:4. This is kind of interesting on that Proverbs 28, verse 4. It says there, talking about they that forsake the law. This is how they think. That live in contempt of and disobedience to Elohim's law, G-O-D's law, it says there. They praise the wicked, honor their persons, freely and familiarly associate themselves with them, and approve of their sinful practices, all which proceeds from their great likeness to them. On the other side of the coin, those that contend with them, but such as keep the law, contend with them. They're so far from praising and applauding them that they severely rebuke them and to the utmost of their power oppose them in their wicked enterprise. This is Yahshua the Messiah in the flesh. When he came, he didn't want anything to do with anything wicked. Sure, he faced off with the Pharisees, and as we studied this morning, not all Pharisees were bad, not all Sadducees were bad, not all scribes were bad. But when Yahshua hated something, he didn't want anything to do with them, and it's the same for us. He doesn't want us to be involved in certain things that have no business with Yahweh's people, and so it is. So my last comments come to a surprise to some people. I think it's in the study Bible. I'm not sure, in the fourth edition, but something that Elder Allen put together. We have five types of laws. We're talking about contending, right? We're talking in these times, people preach, there's no law, we don't have to keep no law. So when people argue against law keeping, which ones are we talking about? There are five types of laws. Write them down. This here, we should all have this in our back pocket. So the first one, governmental. Don't we have governments that have laws? Yes. That's why we have a speed limit. That's why we have police officers. Judicial. Have you ever been at the mercy of a judge? You have to step to in front of that judge. You need to respect that authority because he has power. I was shaking in my boots one time when I had to face this judge because I had a police officer accusing me, and I was guilty. And I was like, man, you know, please have mercy on me. So we have moral laws, right? We have civil, don't we? And we have spiritual. So that's five. Governmental, judicial, moral, civil, and spiritual. The clean foods fall under the spiritual, in case you're wondering. So we have Deuteronomy 17, verses 16 and 17, and Leviticus 25, 29. That's for your governmental. There's more, but I wanted two for each one. Right? Because at the mouth of two witnesses, a matter is established. You can have three. For the judicial, Deuteronomy 16, 18, and Numbers 35, 30. One of those was interesting. It says that if a man doesn't have a son, his inheritance goes to his daughter. So that was very important. For the moral, we have Exodus 20, verses 12 through 17. Those deal with how we approach man, how we approach our parents, right? Not to covet, not to murder, not to lie, not to cheat, not to steal, and so on. Matthew 22, 37 to 39, that falls under the moral. The spiritual, two that we should all know by heart. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments. And for civil, you have Numbers 27, 8, and Deuteronomy 22, verse 4. So we have ammunition right here for people that preach that there's no law. You have to sit there and decide, okay, well, wait a minute. I thought I didn't have to serve Almighty Yahweh. Well, look, you have here. You have your judges. You have your governments. You obey man's laws. Why not obey Almighty Yahweh? Make it easy on yourself. As we look at the five types of laws, we can see, one, Abba's love for us. Look at the law. You think law, there's love in there. Abba loves his creation. Why do you think he gave you these laws? And even those who disobey Almighty Yahweh, Yahweh loves them, not in the sense that he likes what they're doing, but he created them, so he doesn't want them to perish. So he gives them a chance. He gives them an opportunity, but sooner or later, it runs out. We have examples of righteous giants who persevered against false doctrine, nonsense, and jealousy. The religious leaders were jealous of Yahshua. A lot of times that's why they approached him the way they did. Let's see if we can catch him in something. They would ask him questions, but it wasn't to learn from him. It was to try to trap him in something he said, and he always would put them in their place and do it in love. So let us press on towards the mark with Yahweh and Yahshua. Shalom, and may Yahweh bless you.